Short-term exposure to fine particulate matter increased hospital admissions for cardiovascular and respiratory disease among Medicare patients. That's according to a new study of 204 U.S. urban counties, including Utah's South Salt Lake and Davis County, conducted by researchers at Johns Hopkins University's Bloomberg School of Public Health and Yale University's Environmental School. The large nationwide study of PM2.5 found levels well below the level of the new EPA-proposed daily and annual standards, but it still had an effect. On the phone with me to talk about the study is Francesca Domenica, a professor in the Department of Biostatistics at Johns Hopkins and the study's lead author. Good morning, Francesca.
Good morning.
So let's talk about why we decided to do this study.
Well, this is the largest study ever conducted to routinely assess the increased risk in hospital admission for cardiovascular and respiratory diseases associated to exposure to fine particles, so that is a PM2.5 at a national regional scale. Our study includes 11.5 million Medicare patients living in 204 larger urban centers in the U.S. over the period of 1999-2002. We decided to run a national scale study on PM2.5 because, first of all, PM2.5 being now the smaller particle are believed to be the one more harmful to public health. They started to be monitored at a national scale only since 1999, so we took all the available data. And, these days there is there are out there for comment to new proposed national quality standard for PM2.5.
So talk to me about what is 2.5, how small is it, and where does it come from?
So PM2.5, well, first of all, particulate matter is an airborne mixture of solid particles and liquid droplets. The solid particles come in numerous shapes and size and may be composed of different chemical components. Fine particles, defined as 2.5 micrometers or less in size. So these are approximately 1/30 the diameter of a human hair, and they can penetrate deep into the body, into the body's respiratory system. They come from a variety of sources, including coal-burning power plants, factories, automobiles, and burning of woods.
So the relationship between particulate matter and hospital admissions actually was looked at down in Utah County at Brigham Young University with Arden Pope back in the 1990s, and he found a direct relationship there between when the steel plant was operating and when the steel plant was not operating, especially during temperature inversions. So there has been some work on this done before.
Oh, absolutely, and Dr. Pope is one of, is probably the worldwide expert on this topic, and I hope he's listening to this show. Yes, Dr. Pope carried out several landmark epidemiological study on health effects on fine particles on human health, and recently he had a study in 2002 looking at the chronic effects of fine particles. So his studies are important in terms of looking at what is the health effect associated with the long-term exposure to fine particles. With our study, it's looking at a different question. It's looking at the health effect associated with the short-term exposure to PM2.5. So we are not comparing counties. We are not asking the question as whether counties have on average high PM2.5, also have a larger number of hospital admission. But we are looking at a different question is within each of these 204 counties, is a daily increase in PM2.5 associated with the same day increase in the number of hospital admission?
Okay. So in South Salt Lake City, what did you find?
So when we looked at the data for Salt Lake City, we found, to just give it like a perspective, in 2000, and so first of all, let me say that in Salt Lake, a 10 microgram per cubic meter increase in PM2.5, which is the measure that we use to estimate the risk, it's occurring quite often. It's occurring, these air pollution episodes, it's more or less happening one every 10 days. And we have in Salt Lake, there is an annual average for PM2.5 of 11 microgram per cubic meter and high level of 86 microgram per cubic meter. So the level of PM2.5 can go very high with respect to the national average. Now, in 2002, in Salt Lake, there were 5,000 hospital admissions for cardiovascular and respiratory disease, overall. And so what we found that is for every 10 microgram per cubic meter increase in PM2.5, and I mentioned that this increase can happen quite often, we have calculated there will be an extra 40 additional hospital admission for cardiovascular respiratory disease.
So if we went from 10 to
20
to 80, then we would have actually a fourfold increase in admissions. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, if you will go from 10 to 80, then you will have 40 times 8. So it would be 8 times more 40, because, these 40 additional hospitalization are for every 10 units increase. So
okay.
If you go from 10 to 80, you will have an increase of 40 times 8. So it will be 360 additional hospital
mission. Okay, that pretty conclusively shows there's a straight line relationship between the amount of that bad stuff in the air and people going to the hospital.
Yes, I mean you can express in that way. We don't use linear models, linear regression models. We use log linear models, but there is a linear relationship between the increase in PM2.5 and increase in the risk of, going to the hospital for cardiovascular and respiratory disease.
It's 12 minutes before 10 o'clock, and we are talking with Francesca Domenici, a professor in the Department of Biostatistics at Johns Hopkins University's Bloomberg School of Medicine. We're talking about a new study out taking a look at fine particulate matter in the air and the relationship between that and admissions to hospitals. Davis County and Utah's South Salt Lake County were part of that study. And you're listening to Midday Utah on KPCW Park City, KCPW in Salt Lake City. So, Francesca, we often, especially during the winters, get what we call temperature inversions, where the cold air kind of traps this fine particulate matter in the air, and it just gets worse and it gets worse and it gets worse. Should we be worried about that?
Well, I mean, based on our data, I would say yes. I mean, I haven't done myself a study for South Lake City, and I haven't looked at this particular phenomena in the winter, but based on the results of our study, if during this period of temperature inversion you have a spike and a dramatic increase in PM2.5 from one day to the following one, that's definitely, our study suggests there could be a significant increase in risk in hospital admission for cardiovascular and respiratory disease for the elderly population. So definitely something to be concerned.
Now, Arden Pope, in some of his studies, showed a couple of other interesting relationships. One was absenteeism on days where you had high particulates in the air at school. Kids actually apparently were being affected. And long term, he has some studies that would suggest that it may be killing us, that there may be some relationship between the particulate matter in the air and morbidity.
You mean and mortality?
Yeah, mortality, excuse me.
Yes. I mean, our study looks at hospital admission for for the elderly, for the population older than 65. But there have been several important studies, and, you know, several have been carried out by Professor Pope, showing that PM, especially PM10, because most of the study was, you know, before these was looking at health effect of PM10. So there was an effect in, also, for example, in lung function in children, and that was also a study done in Southern California. Ourselves, we have a carry out, prior to this, we have a carry out a national study called the National Mortality, Morbidity, and Air Pollution Study, which actually found an association between short-term exposure to PM10 and mortality, and that was for the entire population. So this is, I think that we are at the point where there is a very little doubt or uncertainty that PM10 and PM2.5 affect mortality and morbidity for the elderly as well as for the children.
So now, as far as the EPA goes, I know there's been some struggles back in Washington over what the standards ought to be. Now, you said that it looked like a standard starting at 10, I forgot what the measurement was, started to indicate some effect. Are we regulating at that standard or not?
Well, United States no longer has a PM10 national ambient air quality standard. Right now, they switched on PM2.5 standard, and that's why, you know, we have been carrying out, you know, this is not why, but this is also why, you know, our study, we hope, will have an impact on the new regulation for PM2.5. So there's been December there was a new proposal for a new standard for PM2.5, both the 24-hour standard and the annual standard. And now they, you know, starting the December 20 or the first week of January, that around that period, they're allowing 90 days, which is expiring sometime in April, for evaluating all the epidemiological evidence on PM2.5 and basically to assess whether the proposed standard are good enough to protecting, you know, the public health. And our study came up in, you know, was very timely because it was published in JAMA on March 8th, and on the same day in the three American cities, in Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Francisco, there were the public hearing about the adequacy of these PM2.5 standards.
So your study would tend to indicate that the proposed standard is not tough enough, right?
Yes, I would say that probably with, you know, with certain level of confidence, that's what we can claim. The reason why, you know, I can make that claim is because we have, you know, first of all, the study uses all the currently monitored PM2.5 levels. And we are looking, you know, we have estimated an association between increased PM2.5 levels and increased risk in hospital admission, even when the level of PM2.5 is below the proposed standards. So that is a suggestion that there is an increased risk in hospital admission, even a low level of PM2.5, even a level of PM2.5, but they are below the current proposed standard.
What is the proposed standard, Francesca?
So the proposed standard is, well, there are few, there is not one unique definition, but, you know, I can give you an approximate level. So for the daily, the 24-hour average is a 35 microgram per cubic meter, and the annual average is, I believe, 15. And for, I did a little calculation looking at the data for South Lake City, for example. We see that in South Lake, we have that only only 6% of the time there is a level of PM2.5 that exceed this 35 microgram per cubic meter. So, you know, you would think that even if we would exclude these days, even if we will rerun our statistical analysis and we will exclude days with a PM2.5 level higher than 35 microgram per cubic meter, the proposed standard, we will still see an association between exposure to fine particulate matter and increased risk for, you know, increased risk for cardiovascular and respiratory disease.
So you're saying that we would exceed that standard 6% of the days of the year?
Yeah.
So should I be worried about that? It doesn't sound like a lot.
Well, I mean, what this means is that our association has been estimated not by only using data and days that, sorry, another way to say is that the association between fine particulate matter and hospital admission has been estimated by using days where most of the time that level is below the proposed standard. So even if we will meet the standard, we will still see an association between PM2.5 and hospital admission. So you also have to think that these are national quality standards. So it's very important to think about a national level, what will happen if we will meet the current standard. And our data show that even if we have a hypothetical scenario where in all the 204 counties, this proposed standard will be met every day. There will be no level of PM2.5 higher than the proposed standard. We will still see an extra number of hospital admission rates for every 10 microgram per cubic meter increase in PM2.5.
So rather than 35, what should be the standard?
This is a hard question and a policy question. I think that, you know, many additional analyses needs to be done to basically determine the right standard. I mean, previous evidence of, you know, previous studies, and some of the study was also carried out by Arden Pope, have shown that the relationship between exposure to fine particles and mortality and morbidity is linear. In other words, there is not a threshold, there is not a safe level below which you will not see any effect. So if that is the case, and that's something that we have to explore further for PM2.5, it means that we just need to reduce the PM2.5 level as much as we can.
One other thing that was not taken into account to the study, is my understanding, is the elevation factor and the fact that we at a higher elevation probably have to breathe a little bit more to get the same amount of oxygen.
One of the strengths of our study is that we look at association between PM2.5 and risk within a community. So, you know, what we're doing, we're saying within South Lake, if there is a day-to-day change in concentration of PM2.5, do we see a day-to-day change in the hospital admission rate? So any factor about South Lake, for example, elevation or socioeconomic factors, so the number of people that smoke or whatever there is the use of for public health transportation, every factors that do not vary from day to day will not affect our estimation of risk. So it's an important factor if you would compare South Lake City with another county, as is generally done for chronic studies, but in our study we're basically looking within South Lake, and so that, you know, that elevation, it will not affect the estimates of risk.